Welcome back to another edition of Smart Driving Cars. We appreciate you spending time with us once again. I'm Fred Fishkin, along with the faculty chair of autonomous vehicle engineering at Princeton University and co-author of the new book, The Real Case for Driverless Mobility, Alan Kornhauser. Hi, Alan.
Hey. Hi. Good evening. Good evening, everybody.
Well, let's start out with the latest Smart Driving Cars newsletter on top. Falling sales. Tesla cuts price of full self-driving software by a third to $8,000 in the U.S. Different takes on this, but in print. But tell us what your thoughts are.
Well, I mean, you know, the announcement says that falling sales, colon. Okay, I don't know why they did it. Really falling sales, and then they say this is Elon Musk doubles down. Okay, I don't know. When you double down, you double things, or you have them, depending on which way you're coming. I don't know, a third, whatever.
An interesting take that I had was that they kind of had to do something like this after they reduced the price of the monthly charge. If people were going to get it monthly, they cut it from $200 a month to $100 a month.
Yeah.
And to buy it was $12,000, and now they've cut it to $8,000, which makes sense.
Yeah, I guess so, you know, but, you know, pricing is pricing in any company of anything is like, where's that coming from? And here, I guess, I don't know. I mean, in the end, you know, what one does with pricing is one sets a price so that, in fact, you know, over the sum of the entities you're going to sell, you're going to think you're going to be doing better. So I guess, you know, the thought of if you made it 8,000, so many more people are going to buy it that, in fact, you know, you're going to do better. So great. Great, I guess.
And as we know, they're giving people a taste of it. Any Tesla owner is getting a free 30 days of the supervised FSD for now to start with, and then they can buy it. Either buy it for $8,000 or pay monthly $99.
Yeah, or I don't know. You own a Tesla. I'm not sure what they've told you. You've been, I guess, leasing one or renting one. I don't know if you now can buy one for $8,000 or not. I'm not sure exactly how that goes. I'm sure that there's an opportunity. I guess I'm sure they're indifferent. You pay $200 or you pay $8,000.
Well, it's $100 now.
Well,
it was $2.
Yeah, it's $100 now. But, you know, I've seen, you know, it's free on the corner, you know, the first one, too. So, you know, it doesn't mean it's free for every other one. Who knows what it will be next month?
Right.
You know, I mean,
everybody's going to learn a lot more of what plans are, perhaps, during the earnings call coming up. You have an item from Not a Tesla app in the newsletter. Yep. It says Tesla earnings call, top investor questions, and what to expect.
Yeah, and on that again, as I do on the first one, I remain a fanboy. Unfortunately, or fortunately, whatever, I'm still a fanboy. I think this site, Not a Tesla app, is really, you know, probably a fanboy app too. But they do point out the type of questions that are probably going to come up on Tuesday, and it'll be very interesting, and we're going to learn a lot, I guess, on Tuesday. We're going to at least learn, you know, what the financials were over the previous quarter. So that's what earnings calls are about. So we can sit here and speculate. Maybe somebody has inside information. I don't, that's for sure. Nobody talks to me. So I know nothing except for what I read in some of these things. And I guess, you know, some of this stuff, I'm just getting tired of reading. I don't know if I'm going to continue doing this or not. You know, maybe it's I've been dealing with these hums for now 12 years. I've been rolling my eyes in terms of what some people write. I mean, how long? And I really would prefer to be praising people as opposed to rolling my eyes with, you know, why do we always have to read between the lines? it gets tiring after a while.
The next item in the newsletter comes from the BBC, and the headline is "Look, No Hands, My Trip on Seoul's Self-Driving Bus."
Like, I mean, okay, great. They claim they're the first in the world. Seems to me, you know, Cruise was doing somewhat the same thing at night, except they were doing it with a car, not a bus. I guess that's a minor detail, whether it's a bus or a car. But of course, you know, there's a driver on board, and there's going to be a driver on board, and someday they're going to pull the driver. I can't wait until the BBC reports on when they pulled the driver. And otherwise, what, are they really doing this? I mean, the headline says, "Look, no hands." Is that the reason we're doing this? Really? For some selfie opportunity or something like that? For it's beginning to drive me nuts.
Yahoo Finance, Alan, is reporting that Mobileye IQ6 Lite is launching to speed ADAS upgrades worldwide.
Yeah, and I think this is, you know, this is a substantial announcement with respect to, you know, those of us, those folks who want to drive themselves and do it more safely and maybe more easily. And certainly Mobileye is out there as a leader in providing advanced driver assistance systems to OEMs and whatever upgrades they can on all this, make it available to consumers, the consumers who are purchasing cars, the cars that they're going to give themselves a ride. So this is a big announcement. Great.
It is. And
kudos.
They're saying that the IQ6 family is set to be installed in 46 million vehicles over the next few years.
Yeah, well, that's what Mobileye has been saying for some time. They have a book of business. They have customers. They have folks who have at least indicated an intent, you know, how much money up front and all the other things and terms and conditions. I mean, no way I'm going to find out what the terms and conditions are. But it looks like they have customers. This is going to be available to the consuming public and, you know, focused on exactly what sort of so-called level two or what I call self-driving. But it's, you know, this is systems in which the driver is going to have to remain attentive, I suspect. Unless the OEM that puts it in there says that they don't, and the OEM's going to accept responsibility for what happens. Can't wait for an OEM to do that. We'll get to that a little later.
Clean Technica has a report that you headline here, why the Tesla Model Y and other EVs are so safe. Interesting piece.
Yeah, it's an interesting piece, and it really follows up on what the IIHS testing has done and how they're now rating these systems and put a little bit higher bar on these systems that have them actually work. I remember David Zuby coming to one of the earlier summits and basically showing videos. Oh, you know, the automated emergency braking system on some of these vehicles at 12 miles per hour, just running over the mannequins. I mean, they didn't even work at 12 miles an hour and didn't stop. And of course, a few years ago, the OEMs all got together and said, oh, we're going to have an automated emergency braking system on all these vehicles, so-called level two. That's going to work. How many of them work today? And that's really what the IIHS has been working on. And I guess at the summit, we're going to learn how many of them actually do work, don't work. Shouldn't they work at 70 miles an hour too? Not just 12? Never mind.
I don't know too many people who drive around at 12 miles an hour.
Well, they do when they're stuck in traffic. We'll get to that one in a little bit, okay?
From The Verge, you highlight a piece by Andrew Hawkins. People are afraid of self-driving cars, says the headline. Can the industry change that? And this talks about public opinion polls showing declining support for AVs over the years.
Yeah, and it's done by the entity that's the supposedly the Autonomous Vehicle Industry Association, which is apparently some association that does lobbying for the industry. What are they asking in these polls? What are these AVs supposed to be doing? To whom are they providing value? Why should anybody support them? No wonder they get responses. I mean, seems to me that they're talking about something that's for the 99%ers, or I mean, for the 1%ers, and they're expecting the 99%ers to be, oh, great. Okay. What are you promoting? What are you lobbying for? Really? So that's a, why should the public, the 99%ers, not be outraged at something that is really for the 1%ers? Think about it. Look, Ma, no hands. This is what this is about. I don't support it if it's about that. Sorry.
About providing rides to people.
Well, I don't know. Read the book.
Right.
I mean, why is it not obvious? Why aren't they out there lobbying, to give rides to people who really need a ride? What are they lobbying for? What? So somebody who already has a good way to get to the airport have an even better way?
Well,
Whatever.
two days after that headline ran, people are afraid of self-driving cars. There was another piece in The Verge that read, "Self-driving cars, Google and others map the road to automated vehicles."
Yeah. I mean, apparently the whole thing is that orange cones are robot kryptonite. What? Why is it robot kryptonite? Why isn't it management kryptonite? The robots are not autonomous. Excuse me. In none of these. The robots only do what they're told to do by management. Why is management sending a robot into places where people are having a celebration with fireworks and maybe Molotov cocktails? Shouldn't management have said, "Hey, robot, don't go there"? Why is management having a robot go from A to B when there isn't apparently a way for the robot to get from A to B without using roads the robot's not allowed to use? That's the robot's fault. Whoa, time out here. Where's management on this one? Robots, autonomous vehicles are told what to do. Go from A to B. Over these roads that apparently you're allowed to go to. They just sit there and do, follow orders of management. And if management sends them into a place where they're going to get firebombed, whose fault is that? Robot just said, do, 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 what it's supposed to do? Are you kidding here? Where's management's responsibility? Where's the oversight entity that's coordinating and doing these rides? Oh, but it's the fault of somebody else. So what to do? Look in the mirror. I'm not in a good mood today, Fred. I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, we have a lobbying organization that is lobbying for what? Where's the social good that's being provided by this? Where's the societal good? These things are using society's roads that society built and paid for just to go out there and serve the 1%. Cut it out. Please.
Talking about the
Oh man,
1%.
I'm going to get the hate mail. I'm sorry. All these things just struck me wrong.
From
Go ahead.
Fortune magazine, we'll move on to the next one for you to get riled about. An exclusive, Mercedes becomes the first automaker to sell autonomous cars in the US that don't come with a requirement that drivers watch the road.
Can you imagine if Elon did that? The outrage. You cannot use XYZ without watching the road. Now, of course, there are terms and conditions on that. Enormous terms, and there's fine print in that. But apparently, when somebody else puts out something, those people don't have to read the fine print and go out and who knows what. Hey, if somebody buys one of these things, they better read the fine print. And they better not be any of the sort of some of the customers that the other guys has. It goes out there, and the first thing that they want to do with the fine they may have read the fine print. First thing they want to do is game it. And oh, of course, this is not going to be gameable. Okay, right. I mean, this is another Cold War sort of thing. My goodness. Maybe nobody will game it. I hope nobody games it. Because if somebody games it, they're probably going to get themselves into trouble. Why? Because, of course, what do the terms and conditions of this thing say? It basically says when you're stuck in traffic going extremely slow, in which there are vehicles in front of you, all it has to do is follow the leader. The vehicle follower problem in congested conditions on roadways in which there are signs that say no pedestrians, no bicyclists. They don't bother saying no children chasing balls, but that's implied. The vehicle follower problem is trivial.
Yeah, it does say
Trivial.
heavy traffic jams, and it also says on specific California and Nevada freeways when the car is traveling less than 40 miles per hour.
Yeah,
I haven't seen anybody on
that's
a freeway under 40 miles an hour that wasn't in traffic, but that's
yeah,
another
of
story.
course. So what do you have in that situation? You have a vehicle follower problem. I mean, that is trivial. Trivial to solve. All you need is an automated emergency braking system that works, an intelligent cruise control that works.
I guess my question would be, is this just an attempt to be able to say they were the first to offer?
I have no idea what their foolish look at me. But as long as everybody behaves and doesn't game this and stays within the bounds, and whatever oversight they put on that works. But as soon as the first guy or gal shows up and puts the equivalent of a Coke, I guess this is a root beer can, on the steering wheel to put a slight torque on the steering wheel so that it thinks that my hand is on it. The equivalent of that in this, and they're in a situation in which they're not following their leader. Yipes. Some bad things could happen if they're not going slow anymore because they have who knows what size engine under the hood that. What's the outcry going to be then? It is hard to believe that Mercedes has really accepted the responsibility here for that situation, because it's going to happen. I think maybe every Mercedes driver buyer is just extremely well behaved, follows all the rules, never broke a rule in their life, never tried to game anything, just accepted it exactly as defined, never went over the speed limit with their car, never crossed the double line. What? In level three, so-called level three, has always been no man's land. The system sort of works, but doesn't really work. And it's sort of going to let you TikTok. I think it talks about TikToking. Really? Does any Mercedes customer TikTok? Aren't they all too old? I mean, never mind. I mean, you can't have enough fun with this. I guess. And I'm gonna hear from Russ Shields, and because he worked on all the regulations and so on to allow this, and he's a big believer in it. And I love Russ. I hear you. But if anybody misbehaves with this, and something happens when they're misbehaving that's not, in the public interest, they're gonna need a war chest to combat it. It's probably going to be worse than Cruise not knowing that there's a body in front of the car moving 20 feet to, out of the way to try to not block traffic, and basically causing it so much pain. Well, I was trying to do a good thing, thinking, unfortunately, not having all the information. This thing, I mean, I think they're, my goodness, they're just asking for trouble. And I guess the marketing department or whoever thought this was a good idea and whoever thought somebody would really want to buy it, I guess it must be free. I don't know if it costs anything. It can't. What value does it provide? Except for the somebody that is, I mean, you have to be a 0.1 percenter, I guess, not a 1 percenter. Say, in my Mercedes, I am stuck in traffic. Oh, huh. I can't possibly drive. But Jesus, I mean, what are all these other people around me? They should not be here. I should be able to go.
Well,
They really spend a
half of the people around him are also driving hands-free. They're driving with their knees while they're sipping their coffee stuck in traffic. But that's
Come on, I used to do that in the 55
yeah.
Chevy. No, I didn't have a 55 Chevy, but you could do that in the 55 Chevy.
Yes, you could.
Oh, I don't know. I'm sorry. I'm coming at this from the I guess the wrong direction. What can I tell you, Fred?
Well, we're going to talk about the direction that we should be coming from in the upcoming sixth Smart Driving Car Summit coming up real soon now, end of May.
And it is coming up end of May, and it's coming together, and we're going to talk about these issues. Sure, it would be nice in some limited places for me and my car, for me to be able to relax and not do anything. It would really be nice. But whoever lets me do that is going to have to be responsible for what happens when they let me do that. And they're going to have to try to make sure that I don't get a little bit ahead of myself and say, oh man, that was nice in that domain. Can't I go to a little bit more of the what times that I drive instead of the few times that I'm in heavy traffic? And can it do it for me there? Oh my goodness, if I just do this because it was something I picked up off of the dark web, I can do it. Because it's going to be in the dark web, if not the bright web, or I don't even know where the dark web is. I mean, I just heard about it, so what do I know? And if I go there and start doing that, man, this gets ugly really quickly. And boy, is the rest of the population going to be happy about that? Absolutely not. And there are the poor lobbyists that are out there doing, I don't know what they're lobbying for. They're going to get killed. And guess what? The whole industry is going to collapse. And it's such a shame because they could have done good with this technology. They would have only read the book. What are you going to do?
And you're going to have, there are really a couple of themes that are going to be taking place at the summit. You're talking about people and goods using public roads, people and goods on private property. You're really covering a lot of bases
Yeah,
here.
no, we're look, as we as the thing breaks down, it breaks down as almost a 3x3 array, where the rows are, people who want to give themselves a ride. That's one row. And the columns are basically what we put out there as a proof of concept, which is, how can we do this safely, mostly? A proof of market, who's it for, and are they willing to pay for it? And the third one is a proof of policy, politics, or people, is the rest of society going to put up with it? And if it's only for this little group over here, this little special group, how can you expect the rest of people? Sure, hey, they already have everything, let them have more. I mean, the people in Santa Monica really need this. I don't know, maybe it's just my drives and walks through Santa Monica. I look around and I'm, whoa. I mean, this is another, at best, another toy. But if it really was for, to provide some good, then maybe. But that's the columns. And then the other rows are, people who need a ride. And then the third row is the non-people that need a ride. Guess what? The non-people can't give themselves a ride. That's the problem. Freight can't quite give itself a ride, so it has to get a ride. So how's it gonna do that? And what's What's the societal proposition there? Not just the business proposition. What's the societal proposition of giving rides to non-people? I mean, automation really improves things when it allows one to sort of modify what humans do in a process. And it involves not just the removal, the replacement of an individual. It usually involves the opportunity to look at the whole process and make it better. And that's what you really want to do with respect to goods movement, with respect to logistics, with respect to the flow of goods. Not just replace a human in that process. What are the new things? Where are the new places? How do you reorganize your whole process now that you have this new hammer? Which nail do you hit? So that's what we're going to talk about. Not just the replacement of people in the process. Doesn't get you far enough. What else does it do for you? Because if it only does that, marginal improvements usually. But if it allows you to rethink what you're doing and reorganize and so on, then maybe you can become disruptive. And you really don't dislocate people. You actually bring them along and improve them. That's what we want to talk about at the summit. We want those visions, not this. Look, no hands. What? So it should be, hopefully it's interesting. Look, I wish I had the answers. I don't have the answers. I don't have many, but anyway, any better than anybody else. I'm just trying to stand back a little bit and take a look at what some of the people are claiming and ask themselves, really? That's what you're about? Or have you been so far in the weeds, so far that you don't see the forest, you see just the tree? I don't know, or however
Well,
that cliche goes. I'm not sure if I got it the right way or not way. I don't know, it's
pretty
surprising.
close, I think. So,
Yeah, pretty close. I
the place
but
to be
I think
again is Princeton, the
yeah.
29th through the 31st. It starts out with a get together at your home once again,
Yep.
and
Yeah, and hopefully it's in a very friendly family type environment. At least that's the hope that that's what we make it. Look, we all need to work on this. I mean, it's not obvious. If it was obvious, then there'd be none of this. I mean, everything would be good. And of course, it's been enormously challenging. Because if it wasn't enormously challenging, look, I've been this is the what year? This is the 12th year of the e-letter. I've been working on the driverless version of this thing for now 20 years, in the non-protected road environment, and 50 what years in the protected guideway environment. Talk about it. I must be really stupid. I mean,
Not to mention
haven't solved it
368
yet,
podcasts now,
huh?
but
What?
not to mention 368 podcasts
I
now.
mean, what? We'll see how the summit goes.
You can find more information about the summit and register at smartdrivingcar.com. That's where you can find us too. Also on Spotify, TuneIn, Apple, Google, Amazon, wherever you turn to for podcast, the YouTube music podcasts carry us now. You can find my tech reports and a special series that just ran this month on the real
Yep.
case for driverless mobility, a five-part series. at textination.com. I'm Fred Fishkin along with Alan Kornhauser. Thanks for listening or watching. Please continue to stay safe.
And Fred, thank you for that five-part series. It's nice of you to do that. I don't know. It would be nice if some people, you know, sort of stepped back and took another look here.